Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hey, I have a question for you. What do you do when trouble hits your life like a tornado? When things are turned upside down? Hey, do you cower in fear? Do you believe the worst? Do you worry and fret? Or do you rise up in faith? Thank you for joining us today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, as I said, along with my wife, Debbie. Debbie is back from Houston, Texas.
Yes.
Where she was visiting our middle daughter and her boys. And it was a whirlwind trip. And it was a tornado of trouble that hit our family on Friday night. I mentioned it yesterday on the program, but we wanted to talk about that a little more today and kind of build everything around this wonderful verse in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, we don't fear. Why? Because the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. So, Debbie, tell our listeners what happened on Friday night.
Well, let's backtrack just a skosh, to use a word my grandmother always used. Some people, I used that in a Bible study once, and they had never heard of that word, skosh. It's like, how can you not have heard of that word? I grew up with it. Anyway, that's a total aside that has nothing to do with the story. Anyway.
I'm going to see if that's a real word.
I don't know. I don't even know how to spell it. It may just be from my grandmother. But I ended up in the last probably 14 or 15 days getting to whatever verbiage we want to use, 4 round trips to Houston, which is, I don't know exactly the mileage, but it's about a 4.5 to 5 hour drive each way. So in the last 15 days, I've made that journey 8 times. and all of it was involving around our middle daughter having her second child, Chase Maverick. And so he was born on February the 24th. Everything was great. And 1 week after his birth, he developed a fever. And the interesting part about that is my youngest daughter, Sarah, had already planned a trip to Houston that weekend. She was flying in from Little Rock, and she was going to be staying with Amy and her husband and the boys that weekend to help out and to give Amy and Travis a little rest. And so she had gotten there, and she is in the medical field, and she hadn't been there very long, and she happened to notice that Chase's breathing seemed a little rapid and that he was very warm. And so she suggested that they take his temperature. And when they did, they discovered that he had a significant fever. I mean, not 105, but it was over 101, which is very troublesome and very alarming for an infant that is 7 days old. Anyway, to make a long story short, they had to take him to the emergency room, which was very stressful because if you are aware of anything that's going on in Houston currently, it's the rodeo time. And so even at a weird time of night on a Friday evening, it was just bumper to bumper traffic. It took them a significant amount of time to be able to get to the emergency room, which was extremely stressful. And when they got there, they were pretty much triaged to the top of the list.
They told them how long initially.
The person ahead of them, they said it was going to be about a 9-hour wait to be seen. But when they got up there, they pretty much immediately took Chase back. And so they just started this protocol of different types of testing that is done on an infant of that age. It's just a standard set of tests that are run, and until they can determine exactly what the issue is, they treat everything. So what that protocol involves, though, is an IV, which was very difficult, a lumbar puncture to get spinal fluid to test that, numerous blood draws, different swabs, all different kinds of things. Well, you know, hormonal mother did not handle all of this really well. And it really was a very scary thing because you just don't know what's wrong. And this little 7-day-old baby is just so helpless. Mm-hmm. And so it truly was just a storm. And it was very very alarming, and it was scary, and God was very good. We had so many people praying, and it ended up that test after test after test came back negative, negative, negative. They did finally get a diagnosis that he had some virus, and I don't remember the name of it, but it was an extremely common virus to children. So it was not ever a life-threatening thing. But on the onset of all of this, they had no idea that it wasn't a life-threatening illness.
Right.
And they had no idea what all of these tests, what their little baby was going to have to go
right.
through. And so new parents watching that, I mean, it was just horrific.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It was brutal.
Because you live it in real time. You look back on it now and you say, oh, well, praise the Lord, that wasn't, you know, everything was negative. And
right.
God was gracious, and he answered so many prayers, and you know, I put that on Facebook, and so many people responded, and so many people prayed, and you know, Amy was overwhelmed with just
right.
the show of support.
Well,
and love.
And bless her heart, you know, from my vantage point, I was worried about my daughter because she was just a wreck. You know, she was almost inconsolable. She was just so distraught.
Yeah.
And then I was also worried about my grandson, you know, and then I had my other grandson that I was taking care of, you know, so it was just a lot. But like I said, God was very, very good. And I remember telling Amy in the middle of it, which I have said so many times, when it all comes down to it, it's all about trusting the Lord.
Right.
And I just told her, I said, baby, this is where the rubber hits the road. You've got to lean in and trust the Lord and know that he is the one who created Chase. He's the one who chose you and Travis to be his parents. And you have got to trust him in this. And just we ask, we knock, we plead, we make our requests known boldly to him, because we can boldly come into his throne room. But at the end of the day, we've got to trust the Lord, and we've got to entrust Chase to him.
Right. I have said before from the pulpit many times, probably on the air, the Bible really comes down to one question from God to us. Will you trust me?
Right.
Will you trust me? And so last Sunday, we started a series on Genesis 3, Sin and Salvation. Genesis 3 is one of the most important chapters in all of the Bible. And the bottom line is Adam and Eve, or Eve was deceived by the serpent, who is the devil. And she said, well, I need to trust the devil and his word rather than God and his word, and Adam went along with her. He wasn't deceived, he just did it, which is pretty crazy. But the question is, are you going to trust God, the God who loves you, the God who always tells the truth? He's the way, the truth, and the life, and his word is truth. It is impossible for God to lie. Or are you going to trust the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies? Jesus said whenever he speaks a lie, because that's his nature. And so, yeah, in the difficulties of life, that's when we're tested. Are we going to trust God, or are we going to fear? And when you get filled, and your heart fills with worry and fear, that's like an alarm clock going off that says, you're not trusting me. You're looking at the situation. You need to get your eyes off of the circumstances and onto me. That doesn't mean that we're not going to experience those flashes of fear. Paul had that on the ship going to Rome, because the Lord sent an angel that says, Paul, do not be afraid. I'm going to bring everybody through. Well, you only tell somebody do not be afraid because they're afraid.
Right.
But
right. Well, it goes back to, I think I've shared this illustration before, but if you're in a free fall, you can know that you know that you know that God is going to catch you at the bottom, but that doesn't mean the free fall is not scary.
Right.
You know, so it. I was thinking about that even in this circumstance. It was like, you know, I would personally have that anxiety well up in me when I would, Amy would FaceTime me, or we would talk, and she would, you know, they've just had to do this other test. It was just awful, you know, and she's just bawling, and my anxiety level would
right.
go back up, and I would have to say, okay, hold on. Let's get back to the basics. We're going to trust the Lord with this.
Right.
We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep trusting the Lord with this. And, you know, that's that's easier said than done. I mean, let's just be honest. Sure. You know, like we can, in theory and intellectually, we can know that that's what we need to do. We can know that's the right thing to do, but that doesn't make that an easy thing to do. That's why it's a sacrifice to do that and to just say, okay, I'm not going to listen to my flesh. I'm, regardless of what is going on, I'm going to remind myself that God is a good God, that he loves me, that he's skewed to the good, and that he can be trusted in all situations.
Well, I always tell people that verse, Isaiah 26:3, and you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And so that's a promise from God. And when we're in a pressure situation and we're in this area where we don't know what's going to happen, especially as it relates to our loved ones and their health and things like that, it's like, okay, I have to continually put my mind on the Lord and claim that promise. He promises perfect peace to those who set their minds on him. And the devil is always working in those instances to get your mind off of the Lord. And yeah, but look at this problem. Look at this situation. And we have to keep fixing our eyes on Jesus.
And I think another important walk away from this for our family was the importance of other people praying for you. Mm-hmm. Because in those moments with Amy and Travis, they were so distraught. And yes, they threw up some 911 prayers, absolutely.
Sure.
But they just did not even at that moment have the wherewithal to focus in on prayer. You know, they were just torn in so many directions and so much was happening at the same time. And so just the importance of the body of Christ working together,
right,
and other people standing in the gap for you, mm-hmm, and being there for you, just like Jeff, you're going to know this illustration better, but when Moses was at battle and his arms got tired, mm-hmm, he had people who helped him.
Aaron and Hur
that held his arms up for him, and
right,
he couldn't do that on his own,
right,
for that extended of a period. He had to have people helping him, and it just shows you how important it is to be connected to a community of believers,
right,
that can stand in the gap for you, that can be your Aaron and your Her in those kind of situations, and to be that for other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an encouragement to be that for other people, because prayer matters. Prayer makes a difference. And that was just a good walk away.
Well, God answers prayer, and he tells us, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And, you know, we had talked before about a situation with our granddaughter, Emmy, and we prayed because we were very concerned with her hearing and some mm-hmm other developmental things that we were concerned about. And so we believe the Lord just answered that prayer and turned things around. And, you know, Emmy's just an awesome kid.
She's the best.
No problem at all. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and Debbie and I are talking about Psalm 46, verse 1. What do you do when trouble comes? God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Now, Debbie, I just wanted to tell you that the word skosh.
Okay, yeah, yes.
Comes from the Japanese word skoshi, which means a tiny bit or a small amount. The Japanese word was shortened by U.S. servicemen stationed in Japan after World War II. So it's kind of a slang-type word, but S-K-O-S-H, skosh.
Okay, Grandma Wade to the rescue right
there. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, when I think of what to do when trouble comes, I think about the account in Mark's gospel about Jesus stilling the sea. And the disciples thought they were going under. They were in a terrible, horrible storm. The boat was filling up. Jesus is asleep in the boat. And they wake him up and say, Lord, do you not care that we are perishing? And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you so timid? Why are you so afraid? And how is it that you have no faith? What is the antidote to the fears and the troubles of your life and of my life? It's faith. It's trusting God in the midst of a storm, knowing that he is going to see you through. Cast your burden on the Lord, the Bible says, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. We're going to go to a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Here are Tim and Riley Wildman for the AFA Foundation.
Riley, what is your title?
The director of AFA Foundation.
One of the best ways you can have income for the rest of your life and know that you will be supporting the ministry of American Family Association is to...
to give a gift to American Family Association and American Family Radio.
Do you also deal with people who want to leave AFA in their wills?
Yes, sir. That's exactly why they call. And that's why we also have another option besides a charitable gift annuity. People sometimes also call and do an outright gift or also leave us in their will.
Now, when anyone calls in and asks to talk to you ladies, will all of them talk in a Southern accent like you do?
Yes, they will.
Call Riley Wildman at the AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at afr.net.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
God made his design for marriage and family absolutely clear. Unfortunately, Satan has a totally opposite view. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023 wants to restore God's plan. July 6th through the 8th at the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, strengthen your marriage and your family with Miki Addison.
The family, God's tool to advance the gospel and grow the church. This is why the enemy attacks it so much.
Israel Wayne.
The latest government statistics say dads spend 19 minutes a day with their children, and the average mom spends an hour a day. We have to have time with them.
Stephen Black.
This lust, this inordinate desire, actually brings destruction to everyone around. How do you know this? Because I used to be homosexual.
And many more. The Youth Apologetics track is back as well. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023, for His glory alone. Register today at marriagefamilylife.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my beautiful wife, Debbie, and we're talking about what to do when trouble comes, when trouble hits your life like a tornado, unexpected, unwanted, and that leaves you shaken, that produces fear. You know, somebody has wrongly said in witnessing, hey, come to Jesus, you'll see the end of your troubles. Well, it's really the front end, because Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation, you will have trouble, but be of good courage, I have overcome the world.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that last passage of scripture, Jeff, that you read before the break in Mark about them asking the Lord, the disciples, do you not care? And I think so often when we are in a volatile time and a troubled time and a scary time in our lives, our flesh, that's a natural question for us to ask. Like, Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? Do you care? Do you see me? Do you care? You know,
and do you not care?
Yeah, do you not care that I'm in the midst of this, because here I am, you know?
Right.
And I was thinking back, because I'm reading through the Bible again this year, and I'm in Joshua right now, and I was paralleling it or just extending it back to that, because when the Israelites had to go in and take the land had been promised to them, but that didn't mean they just walked in and took it. They had to fight.
Right.
They had battles ahead of them in which they had to actively participate. Now, it says over and over in the Bible, in those passages, that the Lord himself fought for Israel. But they had to be engaged in that. They weren't just sitting in their tents letting the Lord fight all the battles, right?
Right.
And so it's just a message to us that, okay, hey, in this promised land of abundant living that God gives us in salvation, hey, we're still going to have battles that we're going to face. And he is going to fight for us, but we've got to show up.
Yeah, he does it. Well, the Lord lives the Christian life through us.
Right.
He doesn't live the Christian life for us. So it's, if David doesn't go out there to face off with Goliath, Goliath isn't going down.
Right.
So God gave the victory. The battle is the Lord's, as David said, and he will deliver you into my hand. But David had to put the stone in the sling. David had to swing the sling, and he had to let it go. Then God took it from there. So, Debbie, you know a phrase I like to share. God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what he can do. So when the Lord tells us take a step of faith, he's not going to do that for us. So God will not do what you can do, and you cannot do what he can do. Think about the miracle, the very first miracle, turning water to wine. The Lord told them, you fill the water pots with water. The 6 stone water pots, they contained about 30 gallons. That was a lot. And so to fill those up, they don't have a hose. It's not like we'll turn on the hose. You have to draw water for that. And that seemed like a foolish thing to do. If you're out of wine, let's not draw water. And he didn't tell them, hey, do this, and then I'm going to turn the water to wine. He just told them, this is what you do. And Mary had said, whatever he says to you, do it. And so God will not do what you can do. You cannot do what he can do. And he won't do what he can do until you obey him and do what he wants you to do. I think about Naaman the Syrian who had leprosy. And Elisha the prophet told him, hey, go to the Jordan River, dip 7 times, and your leprosy will go away.
He didn't want to go to that river.
No, he didn't. And he thought that Elisha would, you know, say abracadabra and wave his hand over the leper and have some kind of big show, like it's a big, you know, magic performance or something like that. He didn't. He just said, dip 7 times in the Jordan. He got mad and he said, well, phooey on you. And his servant said, hey, if he had asked you to do something hard, wouldn't you have done it? You know, bring me the head of Medusa. He didn't do that. He just said, dip in the Jordan. He said, why don't you just do it? And when he obeyed, what happened? The Lord healed him.
Right.
And so,
well, I think that obey is so important, because back in Joshua, it says over and over in terms of just the conquest of the land that Joshua did all that the Lord commanded. Mm-hmm. So Joshua was obedient. And, you know, just like filling those urns with water seemed foolish in our limited minds and in the world's culture currently, trusting the Lord can seem like a foolish thing to do when it just looks like all is crazy. And but how important it is to continue to trust, to continue to obey the Lord, to continue to do all that he has commanded us to do, and allow him to fight your battles for you, and to just lean into that assurance that you're his, that he loves you with a love that cannot even be put into words, truly, you know, and that he loves your loved ones more than you are ever capable of loving them. And he is all present. He's sovereign. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's to let your mind focus on those things.
Right. So I heard a quote the other day from Pastor Chuck Smith. You know, the movie The Jesus Revolution is out now, and we haven't yet seen it, but
no,
we've seen clips about it and things like that, and I look forward to seeing it. But he was being interviewed by Greg Laurie, and that movie's about Greg Laurie's life and Pastor Chuck. And so Greg Laurie was asking him a question about dealing with difficulty, and I'm not going to get this exactly right, but it's basically this was his statement: don't give up what you do know for what you don't know. When you're going through trouble, hold on to what you do know. I know that God loves me. I know that God is good. I know that God never makes a mistake. I know Romans 8:28, that he works all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. What I don't know is why this is happening. And really, when we hit that why question, the answer is, it's a test. This is a test. It's a test of your faith. Every difficulty that comes into your life and my life, it's a test of faith. So Mark chapter 4, the stormy sea where Jesus is asleep in the boat, that's a test of their faith, and they didn't do very well. Why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith? When Peter was walking on the water and then started to sink because seeing the wind, he became afraid, and Jesus grabbed him and said, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" So they went from no faith to little faith, but it's all a test of faith. Will you trust me? And will you trust me all the way to glory? Because we know with the Apostle Paul, he said, "The Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory." That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, the last chapter he ever penned, because he got his head cut off. And the Lord delivered him. He just delivered him through death into his presence. And so regardless of what happens, I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they told King Nebuchadnezzar, "We don't need to give you an answer concerning this. We're not going to bow down. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still going to trust him. We're still going to serve him." And so don't jettison what you know for what you don't know. We'll know when God wants us to know. And so most of the time when we ask that question, why, God's response is, my child, just trust me.
Well, I think that's why it's so important to keep a history, even like if you have it written down in your Bible, of those times of doubt, those times of trials, and how God has seen you through those. So when you have an upcoming situation, you can look back at the faithfulness of God historically in your own life. You know, you can say, okay, he was there for me then. He saw me through this situation. He was faithful to me then. He's going to be faithful now. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's important to keep that record in your mind and to keep going over that. I remember before I had left for Houston this last go round, you had said something, I forget when it was, I don't know if I was packing in the bedroom or whatever, but you said, "You know, Debbie, sometimes I just get concerned because, you know, about our grandkids, because God's just been so good to us. You know, we've just haven't been through a lot." And I said, "Jeff, our oldest daughter had a foot of her intestine taken out. Our youngest daughter had brain surgery. Hey, we have been through some things," mm-hmm. you know, and it's good to remember those things. And, you know, you don't want to ever have to go through them, but it's like, okay, but even through those things, God was faithful. He saw us through those, and he brought healing, and he saw us through. And it's like, okay, what he did back then, he can do today. He's the same God. And so I have cause to be faithful and to trust and to believe
right.
that he's going to be there for me, because he always has been.
Well, and even if, you know, for people listening that have lost a loved one,
right.
maybe they say, "Hey, I lost, our baby got sick like that too and died."
Mm-hmm.
How do you go on? Well, the answer is still the same.
Yes.
You just trust the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I preached last Wednesday night about Genesis 22, Abraham obeying the Lord and laying down his Isaac on the altar. And I thought about that book, When I Lay My Isaac Down, from Carol Kent. We have to do that with all our children, with mm-hmm. all our grandchildren, with our parents, with our loved ones. We have to hold all things loosely, because they don't belong to us. They belong to God. All souls are mm-hmm. mine, Ezekiel 18:4. And so Every family member doesn't really belong to you. They belong to God.
Right.
And we have to be willing to lay them down and say, "Lord, I trust you with this child, with this grandchild.
With this illness, whatever it
is." Yeah, with whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And you do what seems best. We obviously pray for what we want to have happen. I mean, there's nothing wrong with asking God to heal and asking God to work this situation in this direction. But we know that it doesn't always turn out that way. And when it turns out in a way we didn't want, we have to bow our head and just say, not my will, but yours be done. I still trust you.
Well, like with Job, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Right.
You know, and boy, if Job didn't lose a lot, I don't know who's lost a lot.
I love what our friend Charles Lowry says about that. You know, God replaced everything that Job had taken away from him double. But he didn't give him double the amount of children. So he had 10 children. God gave him 10 more children. But it would be, well, shouldn't you give him 20 children since he lost the 10? But Charles said, well, he didn't lose his children.
Right.
His children were in heaven. So God doubled his children because he had 10. Now he had 10 more.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's just a cool way to look at it. And Job had to endure. The very famous verse in the book of Job, really the whole book can be summed up in that passage in the middle of the book. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Mm-hmm. And we have to say with Job, we're going to do the same. God is worthy of our trust, regardless of the circumstances. He's worthy of our trust. And the Lord is the God who changes the circumstances. So when you think that this situation is done, that it's over, Lazarus is dead and he's in the grave, God is the God who can speak a word, Lazarus come forth, and what you thought was over is a brand new beginning.
Well, and I forget who I heard this from, but it's so true that God is either going to change your circumstances, or he's going to change you in your circumstances, or he's going to do both. And so just for people who are listening today, maybe you're going through a very difficult time right now. Your soul is just so heavy within you. Just want to encourage you to lean into the Lord, to look back on your history with him in terms of just his faithfulness to you. Because what he did in the past, he can do and will do in the future. And he loves us so completely and so fully. He has our best interest at heart at all times. He longs for us to draw close to him. He leans into us to hear our prayers. And that's just a neat visual, if you can even get that up in your mind's eye, to just know that God is leaning in to hear your prayers, because the Bible promises us that he's near to the brokenhearted, he's near to those that are in trouble and distress, and that we can trust him with that.
Well, as you were talking, I was thinking about, I think it's a song lyric that says, sometimes he calms the storm, and sometimes he just calms his child.
Right.
You know, like Paul with the thorn in the flesh, he wanted that gone. And the Lord said, no, I'm not going to take that away, because my grace is sufficient for you. And we talk about Philippians 6, a peace that passes understanding. Doesn't make sense that you would have peace in the midst of this storm, but God gives you peace. Mm-hmm. And you can't explain it. It passes understanding. It's just, this is from the Lord. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve along with Debbie, and we're talking about what to do when trouble comes, when trouble hits your life, because it will. And God is our refuge and faith, strength, and a very present help in trouble. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We're coming up toward a break, but I wanted to give you time to call in. We'd love to talk to you. We know that when we talk about the subject of trouble, we all have it. And so everybody can relate to trouble. As one preacher said, you know, if as a preacher you preach to broken hearts, you always have a listening ear, because there on every pew there's a broken heart. And so when we talk about trouble, when we talk about difficulties in life, everybody can relate to that, whether you're you know, even a young person. Now, the older you are, the more you can relate to it, because
definitely,
the longer you and I live on this earth, the more trouble we're going to face. But as Jesus said, hey, in the world you have tribulation, you have pressures, you have troubles, you have trials, you have problems, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. And he promises, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Psalm 23, which is that famous psalm, David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and maybe you're doing that right now, you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I fear no evil, because you are with me.
And through it, not stuck in it.
Right.
That's an important part.
We don't live in the valley of the shadow of death. We don't build a house there. We are going through to the other side. So call in and let's talk.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
I can just turn that radio station on and it just comforts me. It gives me peace. It gives me hope.
AFR is sharing the love of God, and we'd like to know how that has affected you.
I just want to thank God so much for Christian radio and especially AFR.
Call 877-876-8893 and give us a minute or two about AFR in your life. Call in your AFR story today.
Keep up the good work. You're an inspiration to me.
120 witch doctors come to Christ. This is Bible League International. In Indonesia, Pastor Tandi invited a witch doctor on the island of Papua to hear the gospel. The man came with 120 apprentices, men and women learning witchcraft. And after hearing the gospel preached, they all accepted Jesus and are growing as believers, but they need Bibles. You can send one today for only $5. $50 sends 10, every gift matched. Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give it sendbiblesnow.org. This is Bible League International. Many women in the Middle East are treated as less valuable, forced to marry young, and denied an education, meaning that many cannot read or write. So Bible League is giving them the gift of literacy and dignity and showing them God's great love. Magda was asked by her husband to skip these literacy classes, but she endured and something beautiful came about. Learn what she did to win her extremist husband over. Hear it all now. It's only 15 minutes and free of charge at BibleLeague.org/podcast. BibleLeague.org/podcast.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I'm Corey, and this is my story. I was going through some financial troubles paying off my credit cards. I was paying high interest rates, and it just wasn't getting any better. And I knew I had to do something. So my mom told me about Trinity, and so I decided to call. Trinity was able to do something that I couldn't. I'm paying off my debt, I'm saving thousands, and things are really looking up. I promise you guys, you will not regret it when you call Trinity because it was such a relief and less stress in my life, and it was the best thing I could have done for myself because once I called Trinity, they took care of me and I felt such a relief, a weight off my shoulders, and they are a Christian-based company. I love it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I'm Corey, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with Debbie. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's what the scripture says in Psalm 46, verse 1, and the response is, therefore I will not fear, because God is with me. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Hey, what do you do when trouble comes into your life? You trust the Lord, who is our refuge and strength. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, and so we're wanting to talk to you about this subject to answer any questions you may have or hear your comments concerning trouble, because trouble is something that is ubiquitous. It's all around us. That's a big word, isn't
it?
That is
a real big word. Yeah. And I wouldn't want it in a spelling bee.
No. But we can all relate to trouble. And here's the good news. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is a very present help in trouble. And the God, here's what's great. You have to remember this. The God who spoke the worlds into existence, he is the one who is available to help you. As it says in Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Well, we have Lynn on the line from Arkansas. Lynn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, thank you. I was just going to say there was something similar that happened in our family with the new baby. And he had problems. He quit breathing once and turned blue. And they did all these tests on him, like with your grandbaby. And then I said to myself, well, at least he's not at, there was a hospital, Vanderbilt, that did trans surgeries in their area. Well, they took him to Vanderbilt. And I know that doesn't mean the whole hospital's bad, but I just didn't have peace about that. Anyway, but I just wanted to say that when you get older and you give people advice or, you know, because you've learned things, they don't take it a lot of times. That makes it doubly stressful because you've witnessed certain things happening. And one of the things was the inducing drug that they gave her. And I had a friend who was a midwife and said it was not a good drug and made for a hard labor. And then she had a really hard labor. And anyway, but through it all, I was trying to help her with, the baby cried a lot after the whole ordeal. He'd been through a lot of trauma from day one. And so she called the Leche League and they never called her back. And she was trying to nurse him. And so I got a book and the book was really good. And one of the things it said was that when a baby is separated from the mom right away, they don't get a hormone transferred to them, that it can be transferred from being skin to skin with the baby. And so she started doing that, and he did calm down, and but it was really, really rough beginning.
Mm. Well, I think...
And I just thought, what a miracle that is, that God, not a miracle, but just so like God, that, you know, the way he created our bodies and everything, mm-hmm. that would be a thing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Right. Well, I think the first few months with a newborn, even if everything is perfect, it's just rough. You know, I mean, you're not getting sleep. You're not getting REM sleep. You're just pulled in 100 different directions. I mean, it's just a really difficult time.
Yeah.
It's a joyous time. It's a great time, but it's also a very difficult
time.
Well,
and if parents deal with a child that has maybe colic or causes them to cry a lot, and that can just be completely exhausting and maddening, all those things, and you love this little one, but you want that little one to, you know,
sleep
and not cry just 24/7. So thank you, Lynn, for that, and praise the Lord how he worked through that. Well, we have Ted on the line from Texas. Ted, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Pastor Jeff.
Hey, this is the Ted Turner.
The Ted.
It is. Why, yes, it is. and you know, the subject that y'all are teaching on today, it just really, my life has had a lot of trouble in it. And, you know, I was paralyzed from the neck down in 2007. And God just totally healed me in every way. You know, I work again. I everything. I mean, he totally restored me, you know, and I wasn't in as bad a shape as Job, praise the Lord, but, you know, I can really relate to Job because of, you know, God restoring my life just tremendously in every way like he did, and so I just wanted to thank y'all so much for, you know, covering this subject about trouble because, you know, Word is alive and it is the power of all creation, and speaking God's word into a person's life has the you know, ability to change a person's life in every way. And like Paul, even if he doesn't, you know, heal me, he has comforted my heart and given me joy as my strength and you know, understanding of God's own mind because his spirit lives in me. And I just wanted to encourage everyone or anyone who's listening that if you are going through trouble, that is going to be a great time of growth in the Lord and bring you closer to the Lord. And I just wanted to thank y'all so much from my heart for everything that y'all do. I love y'all so much.
Well, thank you, Ted. You're a blessing, my friend, and we're praying for you. We know you have a surgery coming up in just a few days, right?
Yes, sir, on the 13th.
Yeah. Well, we're praying for you on that, and that would just go smoothly. And so we'll look forward to a good result from the doctor.
Yes, in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Ted. Well, we have James on the line from Texas. James, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Will you help me with that too? I don't care. I'll just. Or if you're not doing
that. Oops.
James. Yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I was talking to a friend of mine.
No problem.
Is this Pastor Shreve?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. It is about trouble, but at the same time, it's about more about yesterday. I've been married for 15 years. I even called in and got counseling from one of from Christopher. And I had been praying that the Lord would speak through her mouth and tell me exactly what she wants of me. Because I realize that my wife is a reflection of who I am. Mm-hmm. And whatever I give her, I get it back. And for 15 years, you know, I've been a liar and a manipulator in our relationship. And she asked me one day, she goes, when did you start doing this? She goes, I know, you know you do it. And I had to think back, and I prayed about it that night. And I got up the next day, I said, I've been doing it since I was a little boy. And she goes, that's your behavior. It's become part of your character, and you're bent in that direction. She goes, it's going to take God to do it. And I told her, I said, what do I need to do? She goes, do what I've been asking you for 15 years. Tell the truth in everything you do. Don't manipulate situations, and don't exaggerate where you are on a job. She goes, if you'll do that, we'll never have an argument. And I've started it 2 weeks ago. For the last 2 weeks, we have had nothing but a wonderful relationship. And if men would just, we're selfish by, I guess I'm just not the only one because I'm selfish by nature, but I give. In other words, I make sure all the bills are paid. There's more than enough money. Anything she wants to do, she can do. And I thought that would cover up the evil the sin in my life that I was doing towards her. And God gave me that. Opened my eyes to it, to see it, and it has made such a difference. And I just encourage all men to really take a look at yourself and see your behaviors and let the Lord open your eyes to it and then do something about it. And your whole relationship with your mate and everybody else you know will change.
Amen. That's a great word, James. Encourage the husbands to do just exactly what you say, and speak truth to your wife. Don't cover up. Don't lie. Tell her the truth and act in a way that is honorable. You know, her command is to respect you, but you can help her do that as you live a respectable life. And a husband's command is to love his wife, and a wife can sure help him when she presents herself as lovable. It's hard to love a crab. It's hard to respect a person that's not living very honorably. So I appreciate your calling in, James. Appreciate that word. We have Rick from West Virginia on the line. Rick, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff, for taking my call, and I really appreciate your program, and learned a lot from you. You're a blessing.
Thank you.
Talking about on the topic for today about when the storms come, I just wanted to call to maybe encourage someone. In February 2016, I lost my wife to cancer. Mm. My wife of 28 years.
I'm sorry.
As devastating as that was and hard as it was, within a 13-month span following that, I lost 5 more family members. So that was, including my wife, 6 in 13 months.
Goodness.
And I really felt like I've been a believer since my teenage years. And I really thought my world was coming to an end. But I surrounded myself with godly people and who was praying for me. And I was praying and I was seeking God like I never have in my entire life to get through it all. And today, 7 years later, It takes time, but 7 years later, my relationship with Jesus Christ is stronger than it's ever been in my entire life, and I just thank Him and praise Him for it. So anyone that's listening out there that's going through the storms, just press into God and just trust Him with everything in you, and the end result will be good, and He'll be glorified through it.
Mm, great word, Rick. And that's exactly right. So we have a choice. We can get bitter in the storm, or we can get better and say, okay, Lord, show me what you want to do in me and through me in this situation and through this situation. And, you know, God does, He promises, Romans 8:28, that He will work all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. And so when you think of all things, you think of the good things and the bad things, the sweet things and the sorrowful things, even the sinful things, as we wrestle with sin and struggle with sin, the sin that so easily entangles us, the Lord says, I will even work that together for good as you love me and as you trust me. So I appreciate that testimony, Rick. We have Lee on the line from Virginia. Lee, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning, Pastor. I love you, your show. And I told you before, I like it when you and your wife is on there together.
I'm 82
years old, and I have noticed in my life that it seems like we're right before God is getting ready to call me to do something or have me to do something, that's when the trouble always comes. And I have no idea that that God's getting ready to use me or call me to do something. But I think a lot of times Satan is aware of God's getting ready to use us, and he does everything he can to discourage us not to answer that call. And, you know, God uses trouble, like some of your callers have said it. If we never had any trouble or never went through things, which is not enjoyable, but our faith would never grow. Our faith grows the biggest and the largest during times of trouble. And that's what God really is about, is increasing our faith. And if we had a smooth, settled life, never had no problems, if we were saved 60 years, we'd have the same faith that we got saved with when we died. God is about growing our faith, and I think a lot of times he uses trouble to grow our faith. And like that one guy says, I've learned more in times of trouble, and I've been closer to God than I ever have in the good times. So God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you, Lee. That is so true. And so, Debbie, you know, one of my favorite poems, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. But I walked a mile with sorrow, and not a word said she. But oh, the things I learned that day when sorrow walked with me. As the old Andre Crouch song says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. So Lee is exactly right. We grow through the struggles, through the difficulties, as the disciples did when they went through the storm. Oh, ye a little faith, why is it, why are you so timid? How is it that you have no faith? And then when Peter walked on the water, they worshiped the Lord when Peter got back to the boat and said, of a truth, you are the Son of God. They grew in their faith. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. We look forward to being with you again tomorrow. And go out today, shine and share, and let the Lord use your life to make a difference in this world for Jesus Christ. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.